personally think, listen, there's one thing about like disagreeing with your sergeant or like making a scene or whatever. That's one thing. But I think you need those people in your life that put you in check sometimes, because I think when you get into power, sometimes if you're surrounded by all yes men or yes women that just tell you yes, 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 your mind just thinks that everything is the right way. You need people once in a while to be like, I disagree, and this is why. You know, like, you need that. And you might not agree with them, but you have to be like, it brings you down to a little bit of a, it makes sense. I was kind of like a little time oriented. I was like you said, it was a little bit off or whatever like that. You need that. If everyone's just telling yes, 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 it puts you in a dangerous spot sometimes, because you think everything you're doing is perfect.
This is Corey Jones with the Be Ready with Safety Man podcast. Join us every week for a new podcast. Follow us everywhere podcasts are played and on YouTube. Be Ready with Safety Man. This is Corey Jones.
All right. We are back. It is your boy Hoagie here with the Safety Man podcast show. Welcome back with the main man. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up? I like your Matthew McConaughey impression there. All right.
All right. Yeah. Let's do it.
I liked it. So I know we got a good topic today. As always, I'm going to ask you to launch it. It always sounds best coming from you. So thanks for this one. We're going to go on a little bit lighter side from what I understand, right?
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, we'd like to mix it up here. We've done some movie stuff in the past and, you know, some Hollywood stuff. So, you know, I think it's hard to not be a cop and not talk about cops and movies and TV shows. I mean, you know, any cop that doesn't tell you that some cop at some point on TV didn't influence them a little bit, you know, or like, you know, they're completely lying. You know, we all like those cowboys and, you know, the wild ones back in the day. And listen, we all know that those policies would never work in today's world of what you watch on TV. It's never going to hold up, but it's very fun and very enjoyable to watch. So today I thought for a fun topic, we would both bring to the table either a TV or a movie or a fictional police officer that, you know, we like or maybe dislike or whatnot, but someone that we thought, you know, bring something to the screen. And so that's what the topic is today, is our favorite TV or slash movie police officer or, you know, whatnot.
Exactly. So I definitely have one. All right. So are we going to go 1, 2, 3 and shoot and see who's going to go first? How are we going to do this?
You're the man. You go first. It's your show.
All right. So this police officer, she plays a police officer. She plays.
Oh, we're going female. Okay. All right.
Yeah. She plays a couple of different types of character, but her persona is just always badass. And I get a little emotional when I talk about her, because she really reminds me of a friend and a former colleague, Erica Abar, who was a Mount Laurel police officer who wound up taking her life back in 2018. A good friend of mine, worked in my platoon. We worked some hot calls together. And I always just connected those two personalities together. So I'm going to bring to the table Michelle Rodriguez, who probably known from her performance in SWAT, where she played where she played Christina Sanchez, and she was badass in the movie.
Michelle SWAT. From Fast and Furious. That's where
she's
I know
also
her
from. Fast and Furious, from Avatar. You know, so she plays that badass, right?
Okay, I'm pulling up her stuff now. So what was the movie? What's the cop movie that you like her in?
I like her in SWAT, which is where I first came across her. In SWAT, where I believe L. Cool J was the star in SWAT.
Yeah, so we got. I'll throw. There's actually a really nice picture of her, and that just popped up on my screen with a gun. So I'll keep it PG-13. Yeah, but she looks pretty good. I will throw her out there.
Shocking! There's a picture of her with a gun. But she's a fellow cancer like me. You know, she's a July 12th. You know, I'm a July baby. Also, you know, she's 8 years younger than I am, and she just plays that badass character. You know, I just love just some of the things we're doing. Because when that movie came out, I had just gotten on our SWAT team or recently appointed to the SWAT team of my old PD. And there's just this one scene where they're joking back and forth, her and the rest of the team, and she plays one of the team. You know, she's proven her stuff. You know, she can smoke and joke with the best of them. She can run and jump and be nimble and quick and shoot. And she just makes this one action that all SWAT and all rifle officers know, just this one motion that she just kind of does, where she's just like doing this thing with the gun. And you know it from teaching subguns and long weapons and everything, where you're playing with your handguns or your finger gun, as we call it. And she just does it. And this is going back, almost 20 years when this movie first came out.
So it came out in 2000. I just pulled up some stats here while we're talking. Uh-huh. Came out in 2003. Okay. Starred top cast of Samuel L. Jackson, Colin Farrell, L. Cool J, Josh Charles, Michelle Rodriguez plays Chris Sanchez. Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna have to go back and rewatch this because I haven't watched this in a long time. So now I got to go back, and you got another movie for me to jump back into here and dig into. But it's been a minute, though.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. The kill ratio is not quite as high as the John Wick movies that we've looked at in the past. And as you alluded to earlier, some of the tactics that they're using, I don't know that they would pass muster in 2024, but the tactics were effective. Their hearts were always in the right place in the movie. They didn't violate any civil rights or anything like that. Just the tactics were a little rougher.
I'm looking real quick. I'm just doing a little deep dive while we're talking mm-hmm. about her.
Something else she's in is Battle Los Angeles. Now, I get my wagons broken a lot when I talk about Battle Los Angeles, but she plays Tech Sergeant Elena Santos. And I'm just looking at some of the notes that I took because I can't remember all the names. Trouble with putting characters and their names together other than John Wick or Jason Bourne. But she's in that movie. Either you like Battle Los Angeles or it's a terrible C movie. To you, right? When I'm flipping through channels, whenever I see Battle Los Angeles, I jump on it. But she's plays that same badass character in there.
I'm looking. So I was just looking at I was looking of other things, but it looks like there's a movie called The Assignment. She's got guns in the picture, but I don't know what. I had never seen this movie, The Assignment. So I don't know if she plays a cop or what she plays in this. I don't know what this one is. I think it just says she plays Frank Kitchen, but it doesn't say if she's a police officer or not.
I don't have that one in my list. The other one I have is Resident Evil. She's in Resident Evil. She plays Rain Kano in Resident Evil, right? Avatar, as I mentioned, and Battle Los Angeles. And then there's a new one called Crisis from 2021 where she's Supervisor Garrett. I actually did not see that movie yet. Did not know that movie was in it. She's lower down on the cast list. But Crisis in 2021, that's just one on my list that I'm going to have to watch.
Man, and she's in like... she's not a cop in this one, but I recently saw her in the Dungeons & Dragons movie that came out last year, which I will say is probably one of the most underrated films of last year.
Really?
I think it got a... It's a lighthearted comedy, and you don't have to be like a Dungeons & Dragons nerd to kind of get the comedy. Like... The story's fun. It's good. The characters work. And like I said, you know, she's in it, but it's not like she plays a cop or anything like that. But right. I was actually pleasant. I don't play Dungeons & Dragons. I know very little about it. I know the board game, but I've never played it before. But I'll tell you what, it was actually a pretty good comedy. And it didn't get really any hype about it. It kind of, you know, whatever. But if you look it up on IMDb, it actually has some pretty decent ratings to it. It just kind of... didn't really hit its mark in the movie theater, but if you're looking for a good movie with her in it, that's one you want to check out. And she plays.
Does she play that similar type of character? Where she's the hard, like that's the one you want to have in your back.
Yeah, she's like a hard. She's like a badass in there. All right, cool. She's like they're like a cast of misfits, like this whole team that comes together, and they all have like their own little skills and stuff like that. Right. And she's like the badass warrior of the crew. So right. She plays that role pretty well.
Yeah, see, it's a little typecast, but she does it well. If it ain't broke, right, don't fix it.
No, exactly. If they're going to pay you, you might as well do it.
Exactly. And going back to my friend Erica, very, very same thing. She was one of the crew, you know, proved her worth. I had ultimate confidence in her. We had a super hot call in town one day, and I was first on scene. She was second on scene. It came in and reported active shooter in progress. And when she said that she's on scene in there starting to clear the building, I went and took a forward operating post in the main office, secured that with the maps, the principal and all that kind of stuff. And she worked and ran point on clearing all the rooms, making sure all the elementary school children were safe and there were no assailants. It gave me such great confidence knowing that she was doing it. She worked it well. You know, she's an Air Force veteran, Air National Guard veteran as well. She's really good in there with her M4, calling out the rooms. And actually, she wound up yelling at me because, as you can attest, being a cop, you know, time dilation, right? when you're under stress, things can either seem like they're going really quickly or really slowly. And mm-hmm. it seemed like it was just taking super long for her to call out the rooms as she was clearing. So she calls out the one room, calls out the next room. It was the same amount of time when we listened to the radio. But me, as a supervisor, I'm thinking, I'm calling a number, 149 status, 149 status. She goes, stand by. Okay. So there's a little bit of a tone in that standby.
Yeah.
Then the next one, I'm like, 149 status. She was stand by. So then she clears the whole school. We're like 45 minutes later. We come out. She comes out. She's got an M4 slung in her back. I'm like, good job. I go to fist bump. She goes, kind of holler at you. I'm like, okay, we're serious right now. Yeah. She goes, listen, when I'm clearing the rooms, give me a minute. All right. I got a lot of stuff I got to do. Got a lot of people I got to control. I got it. And then she was cool. And then she fist bumped. We were good to go. Like when I say she yelled at me, it was kind of, she made her statement. She was 100% accurate, you know, learning experience for both of us. And it was a good job. Well, job well done. And that just reminds me of the characters that Michelle Rodriguez plays. She's like, I got this. Let me go.
Yeah. I think, you know, so you were a sergeant at the time when that happened?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So
it was my job. I was a supervisor.
So here, listen, I'm going to throw this out there. And I think, you know, this is a little off topic, but you know, it's kind of how the podcast goes, where we feel like talking about. I personally think, listen, there's one thing about like disagreeing with your sergeant or like making a scene or whatever. That's one thing. But I think you need those people in your life that put you in check sometimes, because I think when you get into power, sometimes if you're surrounded by all yes men or yes women that just tell you yes, 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 your mind just thinks that everything is the right way. You need people once in a while to be like, I disagree. And this is why, you know, like, you need that, and you might not agree with them, but you have to be like, it brings you down to a little bit of a, it makes sense. I was kind of like a little time oriented. I was my, you know, like you said, it was a little bit off or whatever like that. You need that. If everyone's just telling yes, 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 it puts you in a dangerous spot sometimes, because you think everything you're doing is perfect. You know, I think you need those people in your life to tell you how it is sometimes. I always say my best friends are assholes.
Got it. You also, as a good supervisor, you also have to be able to take that, right? You also have to be able to listen and read the room, right? So when she came out, I went to fist bump her, and she didn't launch the fist bump like people normally do when it's a job well done. I saw the look on her face, and she was like, let me holler at you. I'm like, oh, we all know what that means. Like, you know, let me holler at you for a minute. I'm like, okay, all right.
Yeah, and I think
we were good.
Yeah, there's ways about of doing it, right? Like, it's not like mm-hmm. she's belittling you. You're not belittling her. Like, there's ways to disagree and argue. And sometimes your voice gets a little louder and you disagree. But at the end of the day, as long as you're working towards the same goals, you know, that's what it is. But like I was trying to say before, I always say my best friends are assholes, because they'll tell me how it is. Like, they're not gonna, like, if I'm wearing something stupid, they're going to tell me it's stupid. Like, they're going to tell, they're not going to flip, you know what I mean? Like, they're going to tell you how it is. And you need those people in your life. You need them. You know, because they make you better, you make your team better. So yeah, I've never met her personally that I can recall. I might have crossed paths with her maybe in some trainings or stuff like that, but I don't know her personally, you know, from before. But I can already tell, you know, the Michelle Rodriguez vibe, like, because I know Michelle Rodriguez. If that's how you're describing her, I already get that vibe, like, badass, kind of a pain in the ass, but also gets a job done, you know, like, you know. And I can see that. So that's awesome. You know, that's awesome that you're able to equate that to that.
And my last thing about Michelle Rodriguez in Avatar is there's a scene that's in the trailer. And depending on which cut of the movie you're watching, if you're watching a director's cut or extended cut, it doesn't always make the movie, but it's in a trailer. She's flying that helicopter, for lack of a better word, with the Marines that are going to go down, or whoever they are, the warriors that are going to go down onto the planet. And she's just flying, and she goes over this huge cliff, and you just see this giant expanse. And she goes, you should see your faces, right? Because she's the badass. She's been doing this all day. And this is their first time on the planet. What, Pandora, right? Pandora. This is their first time there. And they're like, oh, my goodness, right? And she's like, you should see your faces. And that's the scene from the trailer when that movie first came out. Like, that made me want to watch that movie. It's her saying that line from that scene.
Okay. I like it.
So I'll leave it there. Michelle Rodriguez is my hero.
Okay. I would not have guessed that. So that's a good one. You threw me off. I think I made it told you before mine that I was going to do today. Mm-hmm. So this is why I'm wearing the Ghostbusters hoodie here. There's a reason why I'm wearing this today. So I'm going
you didn't
with
check with your friends. Clearly.
No, I didn't call you up ahead of time and get approval here. That was okay. I am going with Reginald Vell Johnson. He is known for a bunch of movies where he plays the cops, including Ghostbusters, which I believe he plays a corrections officer in that. He's also a cop in Die Hard. He plays Sergeant Al Powell. He's also in Turner and Hooch as a detective. He's in Die Hard 2 as a cop. He is in Perfect Strangers, where he makes his first appearance, and then it all spins to Family Matters, where he plays Carl Winslow. And then he's made a ton of appearances in a lot of different TV shows and things like that. Some of them he's appeared as a police officer as well. He's actually even in Avengers Endgame in a deleted scene and didn't make the final cut, but he plays a fire chief in a deleted scene, which I didn't know until I was digging into this. I was like, oh, man. So he actually is in the MCU universe as well, plays a small role in there that unfortunately didn't make it. He also makes appearances in the Equalizer TV show. And a TV show called One of Our Own. He plays a detective in there. I mean, this guy is like the, you know, I first came across him obviously in Ghostbusters small scene, but then Family Matters with like Urkel and all that. Yeah. That's where I kind of like really got into Reginald Vell Johnson as like one of my favorite cop actors. And I think what I like about him is he's not the badass cop. He's not the dude that's like over the top, but like he's like your normal cop that you would deal with. And I liked him a lot in Family Matters because even in there, like he dealt like when they did show us some scenes with him as like a police officer, he dealt with like some serious matters in there, including like racism and like corruption and like things that he like talked about in that show that like happened and, you know, things that he would have to deal with. And you kind of saw the perspective as like, oh, man, you know, it's very easy sometimes to turn the other cheek and walk away while these things are happening. But like, you know, it's a family TV show. So he obviously confronts him and does the right thing. So,
right.
You know,
and that's what I was going to say about him is, especially I remember him the most from Die Hard, is he like you said, he's not the Jason Bourne or the John Wick or the guy you think of like, all right, I'm picking him to run point on this operation. But he comes through at the end. His heart is always in the right place. And when you don't think that like, oh, who's going to be able to save the day, he actually is effective in doing it. And you feel for him, right? He's believable. You feel for him. He's got the heart, the drive, and the all the things that we look for in cops then and in today and in the future. Love that.
So you ready for me to blow your mind a little bit here? There's a multiverse conspiracy about his characters, right? And I've heard this before, and I kind of dug in a little more and tried to put the pieces together myself. So the story goes like this, right? He's a cop or a municipal corrections cop in 1984. During Ghostbusters, right? He's in that world. He overhears Egon Spengler and the whole team talking about how the world's being taken over. And in that movie, Egon explains that on any kind of normal day that you take a normal sized Twinkie and that represents the amount of ghost activity across the area on a normal day. And he's like, but on today, like with all this crazy stuff, it's the size of like 4 football fields long. That's how big the Twinkie would be.
Okay.
So they say, okay. So he sees this, and then Stay Puft Marshmallow takes over, and Reginald, as the cop in the movie, gets freaked out by all this and decides to leave the area and take his family and moves out to the West Coast. He moves out the West Coast, becomes a sergeant out there. That's when he gets in the shooting during Die Hard and gets into that all scene. But in the movie Die Hard, you see him going to the store. And what's he eating? Twinkies. Yes. He keeps getting Twinkies. So then that all happens. He decides to retire from there because now he's all over the news from Die Hard 1 and 2. There's too much pressure on him from John McClane and everything like that. He's now like making the news. He doesn't want to be known out there. So he changes his name. He moves to, I believe it was Chicago. And that's where he becomes Carl Winslow, the cop, as a name change and works there as a family there.
You did a good job, man. You did a good job.
That is the multiverse that is Reginald Vell Johnson. So if they're going to make a multiverse police movie, that he could be the one that could be all across the universes there. So
that's incredible.
That's the conspiracy storyline there between him. So
that's incredible. You obviously did a little bit more homework than I did.
it's just a little fun research there. I would love to see him, you know, I was just looking at his IMDb, you know, he still pops up as like a voice or like a TV appearance here and there. He did a TV show in 2021, but he hasn't done a lot of stuff. He does. It looks like he's doing a lot of voice acting and things like just like easier stuff, I would assume. I am somewhat, you know, super long shot here. Obviously, I'm a Ghostbusters fan. Everyone knows I'm a huge Ghostbusters nerd. Mm-hmm. So the new movie coming out, it's coming out probably by the time people hear this, it'll probably be right around this time. It comes out of March of 2024. In the movie, so the last one, Afterlife, when they brought it back, it was out west. It was supposed to be Oklahoma, and they were out there or whatever. So this new movie, they come back to New York City. And so there's already been a couple of leaks about a couple of characters. One of the guys from the original one is making an appearance. But the two people that I'm hoping maybe make an appearance, and it's been hush-hush, but I would love to see Rick Moranis make an appearance. I know a lot of people want to see him back in the movie, and he hasn't done much for a very long time. But I don't know if that's a long shot. And then I would like to see Reginald Vell Johnson maybe make appearances like, you know, a chief or someone in the movie. It would be cool to see like a full cycle of like, you know, the full story there of him coming back around. So I would like to see him make an appearance. I don't know if they will, but they've been very hush hush about who the they said there are some surprises. So I don't. That's a long shot, but maybe we'll see.
That would be a good one. You kind of got me hyped now too, because I would love to see that. Because again, I just love his character. You know, he's kind of like playful, and you kind of almost don't want to take him 100% seriously. But then when you deal with him for about 5 minutes, you're like, all right, he's got this under control. You know, like he, I keep going back to Die Hard because that's where I know him the most, but he handled business, man. He handled business.
Yeah, for sure. So
business and Die Hard.
That's what I got, man. That's our characters, I guess, for the day. I want to do
something about Twinkies. You before I forget, you talked about Twinkies. I think this was probably our first podcast. We were talking about prepping and that misconception that Twinkies will last forever. I had told you that I had Twinkies in my basement. They're about 8 years old and they do not last forever.
that was also remember in Zombieland, all he wanted was a Twinkie, and he's like, they're searching all over the world just to find one Twinkie. You know what I mean? The things you take for granted every night on night shift that, you know, I'm not a big Twinkie guy myself, but every once in a blue moon, you're like, you know what? I gotta grab one.
Good Twinkie. Nothing better than a good Twinkie every now and again. But yeah, eat them. So I had like a case of them. So you know, I invited all my neighbors over and we had like a Twinkie party. We're eating. I'm like, I can't believe we're eating 2-year-old Twinkies. I'm like, just the beer will kill anything that's wrong with it.
Sure.
We've done worse.
All right. Well, that's all we got. But I do want to do in the future, maybe not next month, but down the road, maybe even closer to Halloween, this might be a good one. We might follow us up and we'll do our favorite villain as a, like, you know, bad cop, our favorite bad cop, you know, someone that was kind of corrupt or evil or just, you know, crazy or something like that. We'll go the opposite end this time, you know, our favorite TV movie crazy. So if you guys are watching at home, make sure you like, subscribe, comment, and we'll do that one definitely on a future one for sure.
And let's show this out there. Think of all the TV shows and movies we watch, especially the government conspiracy ones with CIA and stuff like that, the White House, something. There's almost always a traitor or a turncoat or somebody that's high up.
Always.
Most of these movies don't work unless there's somebody on the inside who's turned, right?
Yes.
So that could be something that we could, I'm looking for suggestions here. If somebody wants to shoot a suggestion for us to research or look into, can we find a movie that could stand the test of being a believable movie that doesn't have that in it, where it's still a good movie, still without that plot twist. Oh, it was the vice president. Oh, it was the chief of staff. Oh, because that's almost always is, you know? And I want to see one where that doesn't happen, where it's actually all the good guys are good guys, all the bad guys are bad guys, and there's no traitors.
True. All right, well, that's what we got for you this month. Corey, where can they check you out at for some more information about, you know, firearms and things like that?
Anything you need to do to keep you safe, your business safe, your house of worship, your personal safety. I'm even now getting training from RCBC in diversity, equity, and inclusion, resiliency, and harassment in the workplace. So anything you need to keep you safe, to reputation management and everything else, crisis management, at SafetyManCO, at SafetyManCO on all social media, LinkedIn, IG, Facebook, obviously. And I'm even back on TikTok again. Shh, don't tell anybody. I don't want any followers on TikTok, just in case. So at SafetyManCO, stay safe, be ready. And as always, train now so you can be deadly AF.
All right. All right. We'll see you guys on the next one.